Okay, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. This is something I think everybody's read before. You should have read it a time or two. We're going to be reading it a lot over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And today we're starting a new sermon series. It's going to last about 5 weeks, and it's called Gospel Living. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. What exactly does that mean? To live out the gospel of Christ in our everyday life. Because gospel living, it's not just for preachers. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for ministers. It's not just for missionaries. It's for all of us who call ourselves children of God. It's for all of us. That's living out that our faith, living out that gospel life is meant for all of us. And it should be, and I'll tell you, it should be a daily calling for all of us who call ourselves Christians, is what it should be. It's about aligning your thoughts, your words, your actions, all with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. That, you know, we talk about lots of times how the way we live our lives, that is our witness to others. Well, let me ask you, how are you living your life? Is your life a witness to others? Are you living your life according to the gospel so that when other people see you, that they can hear the gospel or see the gospel in your life, in the way you're living? You know, I'll tell you, and when we talk about having living a gospel life, it's about having the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It involves living a life of faith. It involves living a life of love. It involves living a life of service in all things. It allows God's grace to transform, to influence us in every aspect of our life. It's about having the character of Christ. That's what gospel living is about. It's about the love of Christ toward others. It's about trusting in God's goodness, even in our struggles, even when we're going through our stuff. Because we all, like we said before in here, we have a lot of stuff, right? And we go through a lot of that, and we let it control us. And sometimes we get upset with our stuff. We get upset with other people. And we get so upset that we tend to start doing the same thing that they're doing that made us upset to begin with. And we've got to watch that. Those are struggles we go through. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this gospel life that we should be living. We're going to talk about how we should let the gospel saturate us. How we should marinate in the gospel and let it penetrate us and control every aspect of our life, and how we're going to live out the gospel as we go in our relationships by intentionally sharing the good news. A lot of us say, "Well, I'm not good at sharing the good news." Well, are you living the good news? You know, if you live out the word of Christ, if you live out the gospel, then it's not so hard to share the gospel if you're living it out. So we've just got to be able to care enough and to for others. We've got to be able to encourage others as we go, and we've got to exhibit that Great Commission lifestyle. That's what we've got to do, and we do that through demonstrating Christ's character in our fellowship, through loving others, through embracing them, through helping them, and through involving them. We demonstrate a gospel living through our testimony. And you know, I've already heard a story this morning about somebody doing that and sharing their testimony with somebody. That's gospel living, sharing your testimony, because we all got a story. You know, and sometimes we don't get the response we want to, but you know what? We've got to trust God enough that He's going to use our testimony to His glory. Maybe not right when we want to, but we've got to be able to do that. We've just got to be willing to do that. We've got to demonstrate gospel living in all aspects of our life. By sharing our story, we can show others how they can know Him, how to know Him more, and know how to start knowing Him, because sometimes they just got to start somewhere, and you know, and maybe they got to have time to marinate in it, you know, to understand what God's trying to tell them. So we also want to talk about how gospel living means to live in His presence. We're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks too. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:20, what we're going to read this morning, "I am with you always." Jesus is always with you. He's always with you. He's always present. He'll always give us the words. So that's why we shouldn't be worried about, you know, what we're going to say or how we're going to do things. Long as we're living in His presence, long as we're living for His glory, long as we are living for Christ by living out the gospel, then He's going to speak to us. So today, the way we're going to start this is we're going to start talking about, we're going to start this series of gospel living this morning. We're going to talk about this morning about living in prayer. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're going to read Matthew 28:18-20. So I want to ask everybody to stand for the reading of God's Word, and we're going to read that this morning, okay? And it says this in chapter 28 of Matthew, starting in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. This is God's Word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Great Commission. And God, I ask You that we could live out Your Great Commission, that we could live out Your Gospel so that others can see You through us. Not us, but to see You through us. Lord, give us words to speak. And Father, this morning we ask You to speak through Your Word. Open our hearts to what You have to teach us this morning, and just bless us as we try to live out Your Gospel through prayer. For these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, our focal verse this morning is going to be verse 18. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So, I think, not everybody teaches this, but I think the Great Commission, most people say the Great Commission is verses 19 and 20, right? Verse 20 and chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 in the book of Matthew. I think it actually starts in 18. Because I'm going to tell you this. I believe the Great Commission starts with verse 18 here, because this is where Jesus declares to His disciples and us that He declares His authority and His power. Now look, He's always had authority and power, right? So understand that. But here He's speaking of authority that He has as the head of the new covenant. Since His death and resurrection, He speaks to us as the resurrected Christ. He speaks to us of His authority to give eternal life to everyone that God has given to Him. Remember when we read that in John 17:2, just a few weeks ago, that He had authority to give eternal life to everyone that God has given to Him. Now, He, like I said, He's always had power. He's always had power, but now that He had completed the work of redemption, now that He had completed the work of the cross, He has authority as the firstborn from the dead. And it says this in Colossians 1:18, "And as He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence." That means that He has all power. That's why I feel like that with verse 18, because here, the first thing He does before He tells the disciples what they're going to do is He is saying, "I have all authority." That's what He's saying. He's saying that He has all authority. Because He's been given all authority, that's why we direct our prayer to Him. We direct our prayer to Him. The reason why we pray to Jesus Christ, that's because He has all authority. He has preeminence. And that's why we direct our prayer to Him. We pray to Him to connect and to communicate with God through giving Him thanks, by seeking guidance and comfort and peace and patience. We pray to Him to confess our sins. We pray to Him and ask Him to forgive us our sins. And prayer also raises a sense of spiritual community with other believers. We can pray together, right? And through that, we can rejoice in Christ together. We can rejoice in the things that He's given us, in the grace that He shows us every day. We can, through prayer with each other, we can honor the faith that we all as a church have through Him, right? It's part of our relationship. It's also a form of devotion. It's a form of praise. I'll tell you, when we have this devotion, when we have this praise, it causes spiritual growth. So look, let me tell you this morning. You know, we've talked about this in here before. You may be a Christian. Your salvation is secure. But if you're not spending time with God, if you're not living a life for Him, if you're not spending time with Him in prayer, you're just not going to grow. You're not going to do all the things that God has planned for you if you don't spend time with Him. He expects us as His followers to share His love with everybody else, right? We receive it and then we give it. And if you're not giving it, then you're just not honoring Him the way you should. Like I said, your salvation may be secure, but man, there's just no growth. We talked about that last week when we were talking about the vine and the branches, right? Now, some of us should be a better boy, but we're Tommy Toes. Remember that? Remember talking about that last week? That when we was talking about tomato plants? But it's part of our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's what prayer is. It's part of our relationship to Jesus Christ. So we can talk to Him and He can talk to us. We read this in 1 Thessalonians. Paul tells us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. So let me ask you this. When we read that pray without ceasing, does that mean to walk around praying verbally all the time? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It refers to that mindset, that continuous communication and connection with God. Instead of a constant verbal prayer, we should have a heart that's always ready to communicate with God. You know, have any of you guys ever done that? You know, in your prayer time, you like, I think I may have told you before, I still do sometimes. I pray while I'm driving, if I'm driving long distances. And I have done that before back when I was still driving a patrol car. I just realize all of a sudden that I'm praying and I don't even know when I started. You know, and that's what it's about. It's about maintaining that continuous line of communication with Christ. It's about maintaining that continuous relationship with Jesus Christ. That in every situation, in every moment, we should have maintain a persistent prayer with Him. And that should be part of our prayer life, that it just should happen that way. Prayer is a part of our worship. So we should maintain a spirit of thankful worship throughout the day. You know, do we have to wait and worship God on Sundays? No, we don't. If we love Him and we want to live a life through Jesus Christ, if we are about that gospel living, it should be an everyday, all day thing. It should be throughout our entire life. Every aspect of our living should be for Him. And you probably say, well, what about everything else, Jay? What about everything else? If you're living a life for Jesus every moment of every day, everything else is going to handle itself. Because we can expect Him to take care of those things. It strengthens, prayer strengthens our relationship with Him. Let me ask you this. How many of you in here would like to be closer to God? That's most everybody. Okay. I'll take that. But I think most everybody would like to be closer to God. Well, you know what we've got to do? We've just got to spend more time with Him in prayer. We've got to spend more time in this Word. That's what it takes. If you want to get closer to God, if you're just doing it on Sunday morning for an hour, I'm telling you, that ain't enough. If you're here in here listening to what I'm saying and that's what you do, I'm telling you, you got better preachers than me you could listen to. And you can receive a better word from Jesus Christ if you just spend time in His Word. You can receive a better message from Jesus Christ by spending time in prayer with Him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you as I stand here this morning. I'm not always the best prayer. Because I tend to let things get on me. And you know when it seems like things tend to get on me? It's when I realize, man, I hadn't prayed any today. I hadn't spent that time with Jesus today. So the next time things are getting on you and weighing down on you, maybe you need to ask yourself that. How much time have I spent with God today? How much time have I spent with Him this week, this month, this year? Maybe that's it. Because sometimes prayer to me, I'll be honest with you, sometimes prayer to me seems passive. It seems like something that I don't always do that. I read Oswald Chambers. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of him. He's a old Scottish evangelist. He died in 1917. He's got a book called My Utmost for His Highest. I've been reading My Utmost for His Highest every day for, I don't know, 6 years now. I just read it over and over again. It's got a daily devotion every day, and I just start all over every year. And I read this week in one of my devotions by Oswald Chambers. It says, "We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all." I'm telling you, if we want to live the gospel life, if we're about gospel living, it starts with prayer. So, if we want to live out the gospel life in prayer, the first thing we need to have, I know y'all thinking, man, if that was the introduction, we ain't going to never get out of here. But we're going to get through these 4 points, because that's the only downfall of giving y'all the notes every day. You know what? Man, he's taking a lot of time on this. So the first thing we need to have to live the gospel life in prayer is expectant prayer. We need to have expectant prayer. Let me ask you this. When you pray, do you expect God to answer? That's what expectant prayer is. Is that when you get down on your knees, when you look up into heaven, you utter a statement to God and you ask Him for something. Do you expect Him to answer? Well, I'm just going to tell you, if you're living the gospel life, you should have expectant prayer. And I'm not talking about Garth Brooks' song, "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? Because I'm here to tell you this. That's not true. God answers all prayer. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Okay? Now, He may not answer it the way you want Him to. And maybe that's your answer. Maybe that seems like an unanswered prayer. But that is your answer. God answers all prayer, okay? And you need to understand that. And you need to expect Him to answer your prayer. So how far do we need to take expectancy of God answering our prayers? Well, I'm going to tell you, in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, it says this. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" Look, our faith should be that we would believe that whatever we ask in God's name, He's going to accomplish. That's what our prayer, that's how our faith should be. Let me ask you this this morning. Do you doubt Him? Do you doubt at times that He won't answer your prayer? Well, then let me ask you this. Why are you even wasting time praying to Him? If you're going to Him in prayer, already doubting that He'll answer your prayer. It's a waste of time for you to do that. So that's why we should always expect prayer. Well, how much should I expect from Him? How much should I be into this? Well, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." I think sometimes what we do is we expect too little from God. We just expect too little from Him. I fear that's just what we do sometimes. And I think that we sometimes make our requests known to God, but we don't really have enough faith to actually expect Him to... We don't have enough faith to expect Him to throw that mountain into the sea like we just asked for, when He told us He would. We've got to have an expectant prayer. How much should we have? Well, let me ask you this. How much should you expect from a God who created the universe? How much should you expect from a God who created us? How much should you expect from a God who saved our souls by sending His Son to die on the cross for our sin? How much should you expect from a God who offers us the free gift of grace, a free gift of eternal life? How much should you expect from that God? You should expect Him to do anything you ask. If you're walking in His grace, if you're walking in His fellowship, if you're walking in His gospel, then you need to expect Him to hear your prayer. He hears your prayer. Right. And if you don't believe that, you might need to go and revisit your faith again. Okay? You might need to talk to Him. You might need to spend some time praying. Okay? We also need to ask ourselves, are we being His vessel? That's what, to have expectant prayer, we've got to understand that we are the vessel that God flows through. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work." Are we honoring God with our prayer of expectancy? You know, some of y'all might have been in my office before, and you see there's a little metal cup on my desk. You know, I don't drink out of it. I used to drink out of it, but I thought it was kind of cool to have a little metal cup. Like you remember, you see on TV the inmates clanging them on the jail cell. But anyway, it's not a tin cup, but it's a little metal cup. And my pastor gave me that years ago, and he used to tell us, he gave me that when I became the first time I became a staff member. I was volunteer staff. But he gave me that cup, and he says, "Here, you need to keep this because you need to always check your cup. Always check your cup and make sure it's clean. That way you can take God's grace to anybody you need to." You know, it's the same thing as what we read here, what we just read here in 1 Timothy, that we need to be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. You know what I just thought about? I didn't really know I was going to tell y'all about that cup this morning. I hope none of y'all go in there and look at it and it's full of trash or something, but I better get back there and clean it before anybody gets there. But anyway, we got to think about that, because the cup is a vessel, right? And we need to think about, as us, as the vessel of Christ, are we honoring Him in all things? Are we harboring bitterness in our life toward a person? Because if we're harboring bitterness in our life, it's going to be difficult to come to God in prayer and ask Him for the grace that we need. Are we a sanctified vessel useful to the Master for honor? And also, to do that, we've got to have childlike faith, you know, that pray with expectancy and to be that vessel of honor. We need to have childlike faith. What does that mean? Well, childlike faith, don't they place their trust rather easily? Some of y'all might say, well, he won't never talk to you, Brother Jay. If I have a big enough piece of candy, he might. You know, so we've got to have that childlike faith in Christ, just like that. Jesus says this in Matthew 18:3. He says, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. As we pray, we should pray with a childlike faith, expecting that Jesus will answer our prayers. We need to have expectant prayers. Also, the next thing is we need to have focused prayer. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we often get a lot of things in life that bog us down, don't we? We have a lot of things that bog us down. And when it comes to gospel living, sometimes we sacrifice living for the Lord because of the things that are bogging us down. We do that. You might like to sit here and say, no, I'd never do that, Jay. Hey, we do that. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. If you don't believe that, you're in denial. And you'll realize it the next time. But we do that sometimes. It's really difficult to live the gospel life when we let so many things in life bother us, because we do, and we let things bother us. It's hard to stay focused on the things of God, the things He wants us to do, when we concentrate on so many things and we get wrapped up in all our stuff. Have you guys ever done that? You'd be praying, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about something else. Sometimes it's kind of difficult to have a focused prayer. I'll tell you, sometimes I have to pray out loud. I'll shut that door in that office and I pray out loud. Or I'll come in here during the week when ain't none of y'all here, and I'll pray out loud until a couple weeks ago when I realized that camera back there records sound. I didn't know it did that. So now some of y'all are thinking, oh, it does? So I have to do that sometimes to do that. I just have a hard time staying focused sometimes when I'm praying. That's why we've got to have clean hearts when it comes to prayer. We've got to have clean hearts. We've got to have soft hearts. In Psalms 51:10 it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We should approach the throne with clean hearts. We should approach the throne with softened hearts, so that we can remain focused in our prayer. That way, our eyes and ears will be open to what God's trying to tell us. Our eyes and ears will be open to the things that God's wanting to lead us to do. He may be trying to teach us how to live that gospel life, but we're just not hearing Him because we're not having that focused prayer where we can hear Him. So if we hold contempt or bitterness in our heart against someone, it just means we don't have the attitude of God. So we need to be transformed to have that attitude of focused prayer. That's what's required to live out the gospel life. Another aspect of gospel living and prayer is corporate prayer. Now I'm going to tell you, this is going to cut close to the bone, for those of y'all that I have talked to about this in the last couple of weeks, I started this sermon about 3 weeks ago. So this ain't about you. Okay? Because I know I've had a conversation about this with some folks. And I'm saying it out loud right now. This ain't about you. But it says this in Acts 2:42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." So they continued what it was the first church. Remember when we read about this and when we were studying Acts on Wednesday night, we read how they went from house to house praying with each other. That is corporate prayer. Well, we have some of the same types of corporate prayer in church nowadays. We have church prayer, like here every morning. We just had corporate prayer, right? Ramey led prayer right before we took up offering. I prayed when we got through reading the Bible. That's corporate prayer. And you know what? That's a good thing, right? We can pray with each other. Do you know people can receive a blessing from hearing you pray? Did you know that? But listen, let me ask you, the first thing we've got to realize is, who are we praying to? Are we praying to everybody in here? Who are we praying to? God. There we go. There's that good, like I said, that's that good Sunday school answer, right? God or Jesus. That's always right. But yes, that's who we're doing. When we have corporate prayer in church, we're praying to God or Jesus. We're not praying to each other. We're not praying to we're not praying to have them hear us or so that we sound good. You ever heard somebody who, I remember when I was growing up, sometimes I can hear Brother Devers, when I was like 8 years old, he would pray the same prayer every time the preacher called him to pray. And I can hear him in my head right now saying, "Nah, dear Heavenly Father." I can hear him saying that. That's the way he would say it. "Nah, dear Heavenly Father, we especially pray for the ones on our sick list, Lord. Lord, we lift up those who need you." I can't remember anything else, but I can remember that part of his prayer. And that was like when I was 8. And I can still hear his voice in my head. But have you ever heard somebody pray like that? Pray the King James English or something like that when they pray? You know? I tell you, I was having a conversation this week with somebody. And when I was a little boy, I used to wonder what God sounds like when he talks. I'm going to tell y'all, I believe God sounds like my dad. Because I can remember him as a deacon standing up and praying in church. I remember him leading our family in the blessing at the dinner table. I remember him praying. He is in the last couple months, you know, I'll go visit him and he prays over me. And I'm not saying my dad is God, but I believe that's what God sounds like. You know, but that's what corporate prayer does. It brings us together. It's a form of fellowship. It is a form of worship. So do you fear praying in front of people? I'm going to tell you, it takes practice. I remember when I'd never do it either. But you know what? You can receive a blessing. And so can others through your prayer to the Lord. You just have to be willing to do it. And sometimes that's part of that gospel living that we've just got to decide. You know what? I'm going to honor God through that. We can honor God. Another form of corporate prayer is through group prayer. In James 5:16, it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So in small groups or in Sunday school, we can share issues with each other, and you know, we can pray with each other there and pray for somebody else. Man, I tell you, it's something else when you're in that small group with just a few people that you can pray for each other. You know, Jesus did that. He had the 12 disciples, and then he had that inner group of people that he prayed with, you know, and so it's okay to do that. Small groups can share issues with each other. They can pray confidentially. You can shut that door and get in there in that vault, and you can share stuff with nobody but your brothers and sisters right there next to you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is honored through that corporate prayer. We can pray through team prayer. I'll tell you what team prayer is. That can sometimes be specific prayer teams that are praying for certain things. It's an intercessory prayer where a couple of people get together on the behalf on others' behalf to pray to God. Maybe it's planned prayer for the needs of the church. You know, I'm going to tell you, the last two churches that I was at, we had men that would come to church an hour and a half before church started every Sunday. And the first thing they'd do, they'd just sit out in the sanctuary praying to themselves for about 15 minutes. And then the preacher or one of the other leaders, sometimes it was me, I'd say, "All right, y'all, come on up." And we'd get right here together in front of the altar, and we'd say, "Okay, what do we need to address this morning?" And we would go around the circle praying with each other, one after another. And then when we got through with that, you know what we did? We took the pastor and put him in the center of the circle, and we all laid hands and we prayed over him that God would bless him in his sermon this morning. Now, at my last church, what we do is after that, about 10 minutes before the sermon, I'd grab the preacher and about five guys, and we'd run in the preacher's office and we'd pray for him again. So he got a double dose. That's corporate prayer. So we can receive a blessing through corporate prayer. All we got to do is live that gospel life and be willing to submit to it. Okay? And the last thing is, to live a gospel life, we need to be praying for divine appointments. Colossians 4:3 says this, "Praying also for us," that this is Paul talking, he says, "Pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word." If we want to live a gospel life, we should pray for and we should seek out divine appointments. We should be looking for things for God for us to do. We should hear His prompting and we should respond to His prompting. And you know, let me tell you what divine appointments are. Divine appointments are when God puts someone in our path to minister to, or He gives us a chance to demonstrate His glory to others. I'm just going to tell you, I think God gives us these opportunities more than we realize. I think more than we recognize. Why does He do that? Why don't we recognize Him? I think sometimes we just miss Him because we're not paying attention. You know, I think that happens too. But I'm going to tell you, I think we sometimes miss Him because we just don't want to see Him. We just don't want to be bothered with that, do we? I mean, it's not, why are we that way? Well, it's not always comfortable to do that, is it? It's not always comfortable. It's just not always comfortable to do what God tells us to do sometimes. Isn't that right? I mean, I think it happens to us. It's not always what we want to do. Well, I'll tell you, that's not gospel living if you're doing that. So we need to pray to God that He would give us divine appointments. We need to pray that He would give us open eyes to see those chances that He gives us to share His gospel with others. We need to pray that He would speak out, that He would give us boldness, that we would speak out in boldness about His work. And Paul writes in Ephesians 3:12, "We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." So you know what else we got to do then? We got to pray for faith that God would do His work through us. Remember, we just talked about earlier, we're the vessels, right? He wants to do a work through us, but we've got to honor Him through that work. He wants to do stuff through us. We've just got to pray that we would fulfill the gospel living that He calls us to by using us to share His gospel with others. Let's ask Him in faith all these things without any doubt. Let's ask him in faith to hear us when we call Him. We need to understand that He started a good work in us and He'll see it through to His completion. Let's pray that He would show us how to make a gospel living, and how to be living for Him, and how to make that a priority in our life, that we do that. Let's pray expectantly. Let's pray with focused prayer. Let's pray corporately. And let's pray that He would give us, that He would just put people in our path to share His gospel and His love with. We need to pray and ask Jesus that we would boldly share the gospel like one who lives according to the gospel. So let's pray for gospel living in our lives. So let me ask you this morning. Do you want to live the gospel life? I'm going to tell you, it starts by giving your life to Him. Maybe some of you have already done that. You just haven't given the whole thing. You're still holding on to some stuff. Well, let me tell you. If you've never given your life to Him, you can do it this morning. You've got to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to admit that you need a Savior. You've got to admit that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You've got to believe that only Jesus Christ can save you. You've got to realize that He is the Savior. That you've got to remember that God loved the world enough to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. So that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You've got to be saved. You've got to believe that. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to repent of it. And you've also got to confess that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then you'll be saved. So how about it? Maybe some of you have never started the gospel life, but you can start today. Are we ready to start the gospel life today?